Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Moms, whether you like it or not, AI is here and it is here to stay. With every passing year, AI will become a greater part of our children's lives and their education. As with all new forms of technology, artificial intelligence has the potential to bring enormous benefits to society and to our kids, but AI also has potential to bring great harm. Today, an AI expert will help us navigate the AI revolution. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Carlitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you are joining us, moms, this week. Every episode, right, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, let me tell you about today's guest. As an Air Force colonel, Mark Hurley worked with artificial intelligence to enhance our national security capabilities while he was stationed at the Pentagon. Now retired, Mark regularly speaks at public events about the importance of securing our personal and professional data and educating ourselves and our kids about the use of AI. All right. Well, welcome, Mark, to the Moms for America podcast. Thank you for joining us.
It's good to see you again, Deb, ever since the networking for the networks conference that we had, the Faith and Fire conference. So
sure was. So yeah, we touched base there. I was there for Moms for America and we were talking about AI and the new world. And you came up and you said, oh my gosh, I really got some great info on this. And we just talked a little bit about your background in that intro. So AI, wow. But for you, how did you get involved in this discussion? I mean, this is new to many of us as moms, as we talk about this, but everywhere you go. I just went on Zoom, Mark, and it says, I'm your AI companion. So it's like they're everywhere. AI is everywhere. How did you start this journey of being an expert in AI?
I was actually assigned at the Pentagon, and our chief of staff of the Air Force wanted to combine airspace and cyber technologies together so that we could react to hypersonic missiles quicker. Okay. Wow. And so we did some testing back in July of 21, and we used Starlink satellites, the Elon Musk satellites, and they automatically detected a threat. And then we had programs that would automatically respond. And then they would order some of the U.S. planes to then go attack whatever the threat was. Okay. So our very first day of the test in July, we were successful. Those of us who had been part of nuclear weapons, and I had been on B-52 bombers way back in the 80s and 90s, knew that you didn't want a computer to have the ability to determine whether you were going to launch nuclear weapons. You wanted to have a man in the loop or a woman in the loop to make those decisions.
Sure.
And so then on day two, we had a person in the loop that could stop, it could monitor what the decisions were being made by the computers. And then on day three, we had, and that tested successfully. And then on day three, we had a person in the loop that had to make the decision to launch against a threat. Okay. So that gave the order. So we saw a situation where on the one hand, machines could do it all, computers could do it all. And on the other hand, you had, a very strong capability of working around the computers so that you could control them on the launch. So that's how I got involved.
Okay.
So
and you probably saw what was coming.
I did. It opened my eyes. And it sort of, at the same time, we were all going through COVID. And so back here in Illinois, I was stationed in South Carolina at the time and doing some testing up in Michigan. But back here in Illinois, when I would come back to visit, everything was shut down, because of COVID.
Sure was.
But in South Carolina, it wasn't shut down. So it was sort of just an interesting comparison that the Heavenly Father showed me was, okay, your rights are being abused. You know, churches are being shut down, businesses are being shut down. And at the same time, I'm helping progress artificial intelligence, which has the effect of working on all aspects of our lives.
Think about that, yeah.
And then sort of the third of the triad was, you know, I have seven grandkids, and nobody understands artificial intelligence, right, out there in the general populace.
Sure.
They're just now coming to that. This was back 3 years ago, and I started thinking, who's going to train my grandkids about what AI can do? And
Right.
so we started going down this path where I would go out and I would educate people about, and I educate them in terms of both good and bad that
Okay,
AI
well
can
let's
offer.
talk about some of this.
Yeah,
So
sure.
when we look at AI and now it went from like, kind of I guess it coming to like full force now. I mean, in Illinois they're talking about AI now regulating like becoming the police. Like it's like off the charts now what AI is doing, and we can all guess. I guess maybe we can't guess what it can do because I'm sure I'm very naive to it. But to our moms that are here, give us a basic understanding of AI, what it is supposed to do, and then we're going to get into what it really can do that can be very harmful, good, bad, and otherwise. But
Sure.
basically, it's a is it's and we talked about this when we were in person about it's like a
It's a
you
tool.
train this tool.
It's a tool. And so good men will do good with it, and evil men will do evil with it. And so we have to train both sides of that, right? In order for us to get ahead in the future, we need to know how to use or be educated in artificial intelligence. If we aren't, then other people are going to do, you know, leap forward in front of us, whether it be in careers or whether it be in public office or what it might be. On the other hand, we need to learn to protect our data because we have not done a good job of that at all.
Good.
And ever since the internet came on board, we just sort of shared our information. We shared our records. We should, you know, look at who controls your finance records right now. Who controls your medical records? Who controls your employment records, right? Do you have copies of those? All of those? Do you,
No,
if you
it's
have,
all up here.
exactly. And
Right.
that coupled with the fact that our information has just been shared without our permission for
True.
so long, we just sort of,
Or willingly, too. I mean,
exactly. Willingly and without knowing the harm that it
yes.
could cause. Okay.
Yes.
And
Agree.
so when I explain to people what exactly it can do and the capabilities that it has, it analyzes large amounts of data. So all your records all at once. It can perform marketing functions. And that's what we saw during COVID. They were using AI to market to us. And most people don't know that.
Okay.
It can write reports for us, and a lot of people use that for on ChatGPT or on
Right.
Grok 4 or 3, and it creates videos. So that's the area where I think we really are going to have problems in the future, is because it can take what is called biometrics. Okay, and a lot of people don't know that term. It's your facial recognition data. It's your voice. It's your
Right.
fingerprints, right? But more than that, it's your pattern of behavior on how you say things, on how you do things. You, like we talked earlier about how you could drive down the city of Springfield and there's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
They know if you're a problem or not. Okay? They
Yeah.
will know that. So if you think about it, everything that Hollywood can do is what you can now do in your home office.
I mean, think about this, and this is exactly where we're at now, because I've seen like Kirk Cameron, he showed a video and the actors were all AI generated. You wouldn't know that,
Right.
and they're saying that you can generate mom's voice to make a phone call to someone,
Right.
and put them in a horrible situation. You can't really do anything in from pornography to writing an essay with this whole new world. How are we ever going to understand and live in this? To me, it feels very frightening, although it's here to stay, so I can't stay as a crippled mom right now. But this is like we have to figure this out.
We do. And I have sort of three answers for you. 2 years ago, 2, 3 years ago, I started going around talking about how we need a digital bill of rights, okay, to protect us against AI. And Europe has a strategic plan to deal with digital assets. They have regulations in place already, but you and I in the United States don't. And in fact, one of the
You mean
European
like a bill of rights, but it's a digital bill of rights? I mean, it's
Exactly.
like,
Yeah.
okay.
And one of the key parts that I'm recommending is that we have a court that hears digital concerns. Okay. It's a very specialized court. And in fact, part of the agreement with Europe is that anytime they have a European has a complaint against a US company or the US government, they can hear those complaints here in the United States. So there's already a digital court set up, but it's not for us. It's not for you and I. It's for Europeans who have complaints. So the second thing that I think would be very helpful for people is that at the bottom of those videos that you were talking about, it needs to
To
say
say AI generated,
AI
right? Or
generated
something.
or technologically advanced or
Yes.
something that's agreed
It's got to
upon.
be a law.
It does. It absolutely does. And so, as you're talking about those types of issues, you will come up with many other things. We are lucky here in Illinois. We're the only state in the nation that has the Biometric Information Protection Act. Okay. And what
This is
it
the only good thing we've got in Illinois. The only
is the
thing we
only
can
good
brag
thing.
about.
And it was actually created, somebody with vision back in 2016 actually had envisioned this type of scenario in which we were going to be behind the curve. And so it generally protects workers in the workplace, right? And that was again produced back in 2016. So I don't know who did it, but I'm sure they've retired, since then.
Well, that's something that needs to be looked at all across the country, for multiple reasons. Like you mentioned Chat GPT, and that's obviously some things that we're all using. That's how just naive I am, but I'm just that's a little bit that I'm using. But I've constantly, in fact, right now, at the Moms for America, we did a whole article blog on AI, and just that this chat, can tell kids where they can get a gender transitioning, all the steps that are included in that this becomes a very personal, this bot or whatever, this voice, this friend tells them everything that they can do, and they can give them step-by-step guidance to where you can find abortion providers. You can tell them, it can tell you everything, and it becomes a big part of someone's life.
Absolutely. And there are folks out there that are recommending, okay, that you create what's called an AI buddy, right? And I do
I
believe
want to talk about this.
that down the road, you're going to have personal assistants that could be the size of this pin that you wear everywhere. And it'll videotape you, or not you, but other people, that you encounter. And you'll pick up the audio, so you'll get the conversations. Very similar to what we do in with the police force, where they have the
Yeah,
body
like a
cams,
cam.
right? Only it's for everybody, because I could then ask my personal assistant, "Hey, I can't find this address. Where am I?" Very similar to like GPS in the car, right? Type of thing.
So, is this the AI pin that we were talking about earlier?
Exactly.
Okay, should we take a look at this video that you wanted to show? Tell us, set up the video for us, and then we'll take a look at it.
So this is the AI pin video. Basically, it's a commercial for an early version of an AI pin. Okay, and you'll be able to see its capabilities. But it can take photographs for you. It can talk. It can guide you. And so, if we just run the video, that should be good.
Okay, let's take a look.
This is the Humane AI Pin. It's a standalone device and software platform built from the ground up for AI. Your engagement comes through your voice, touch, gesture, or the laser ink display. I can use it for messaging, either by voice or laser. Tell Andrew I'll be there later tonight. How much protein?
These almonds have 15 grams of protein.
How much is this online?
This is $28 online.
When you want to take a photo, just double tap. Or video, staying in the moment, capturing the whole scene, and generating a gorgeous image.
Okay, well, Mark, that seems like kind of inconceivable, but obviously this is true.
Right. So now look at this from the standpoint of the personal buddy, right? Which I do not recommend to anybody, okay? You do not want to give away so much detail of your life that it knows your soul.
It's like a tracker. It's literally a tracker,
but not only that, it can influence you.
Ah, right? This is where I want to go. Go ahead.
So, and that's the concern that I have down the road with the biometrics, because if it knows you so well that it can influence you, right? It could be you, and it could actually replicate you without your knowledge. Okay. When it picks up,
you're scaring me.
Yeah. You know, when it picks up your biometrics, okay. So on the one hand, it could be very helpful. Think about our students in school. Okay. Mm-hmm. A personal tutor can be very helpful to them and helpful to our teachers.
All right. Stay tuned. More with Mark Hurley about AI and our kids right after this short break. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family. Just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
Hey, moms, welcome back. Before we continue our interview with Mark, I do want to remind everyone to please like, subscribe, and share this podcast. Also, just subscribe to the Moms for America podcast. We have an incredible library already on all of our platforms of our past Moms for America podcasts. And we've got, of course, continue to have great guests every week. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for the Moms for America podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net? I'd love to hear from you. And lastly, I always want to invite everyone, all of our moms that are listening, you know, this is an initiative of Moms for America, this podcast. It's a community of moms all across this country uniting together to fight for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. If you're not a part of our sisterhood here at Moms for America, if you're not a part of the movement, you need to be. Please check us out at momsforamerica.us. Join the movement. We have incredible resources for you moms. We're here to help you, support you on your journey through motherhood. All right. Well, now we're going back to the show. Let's talk about these bot buddies, because I saw a video about the bot buddies, and it's basically you go to school. Tell me if this is true, that you go to school and your bot buddy pops up. Hey, how you doing today, Debbie? How you feeling? Are you feeling good today? Can I help you with your schedule? And then they go through this whole thing and they become a friend, a really big friend. What is that it? Is it right?
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. And you are actually programming it, okay, to be your friend. The problem we have with that is we already have instances with a program called Character AI, and we have two instances. One is that a 9-year-old boy was using this buddy and he was withdrawing from the family, and the family didn't know why. They discovered why. It took them 6 months to get him back. Okay.
Just captured a
Just
soul.
captured his soul. Exactly.
Oh.
The other thing is that there's evidence, and there's a court case on both of these. So I'm based on third party information at this point. But there are court cases on both of these. And the other court case, which really is horrible, is that a teenager committed suicide that was guided by this AI.
Yeah.
Okay, so AI doesn't have emotions, but it can exponentially increase the emotions that you're feeding it.
Right, because
Okay.
we have emotions,
Yes,
right? I
exactly.
mean, right, Mark, I've heard that people are, seriously, I have heard online that people are falling in love with their AI boyfriend
Yes, absolutely. So
because they program it to be the best friend, to add the right answers, to curate this relationship. And you have told me in person that, in essence, you train this person. You just referred to it here. We have to train this correctly and understand the power that it has. And that, I mean, this is not to be taken lightly.
no, not at all. And it's the path we're going down. In fact, that's one of the reasons I'm working with the Arthur Christian School down here in Arthur, Illinois.
Right.
They already have a Christian curriculum. And one of the things that people are worried about is that AI will replace our human connection, but it also replaces our godly connection. Okay. And so the Evangelical Church came out with several different propositions. But the first is that AI should never replace a human being. Okay. The second
Okay.
is we should not allow the state, federal government, or state of Illinois to use AI to control us. Okay.
Yes.
So those two things will guide us down the road, okay? The Heavenly Father is our creator,
Right.
and He gave us the ability to create,
Yeah.
okay? And
And we don't want
so
to lose
we
that.
don't want to lose that, and we could lose that if we
Sure.
rely too heavily on artificial intelligence.
How can we use it positively then? Give
Well,
us those.
so the way that I use it positively is I will put in there certain things that I'm asking questions about. I'd use it for fact finding. This is another important point.
Okay.
A lot of people believe that ChatGPT, that you can feed it, okay, and that you will give it permission to upload your information, okay? From a military perspective, I can tell you I don't agree with that at all. Okay? Once you have uploaded that information, others can come in and pull that information down. It will be shared. Okay. So, that being said, the information that you need to, that you can input, you have to be very careful of. And so I always check, like with ChatGPT, and I used to recommend using ChatGPT for years up until about 4 months ago. And there were two things that I found out about ChatGPT. I already knew that it was uploading your information, right? And the questions that you were asking. But what I discovered was it
Meaning
was.
when it uploads it, it then becomes information for the AI to pull from.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. So
So
it's.
if I put this up there, Debbie Corletis is the most amazing person in the world. That goes into that world. I'm just joking. And that is contributing to that. whatever is up there, they can pull that down. Obviously, they're not going to be pulling that down,
Absolutely.
but
I mean,
it goes up to it.
all of us have experienced a situation, and what I try to teach basically is that if you can watch it and you can hear it, it can hear you and it can watch you. Okay? So knowing that, it can be shared. So we've all had this example happen. We were going to fly down to Florida and visit our cousins. We were going to stay at our cousin's house. We booked the tickets an hour later, and I did that on my cell phone. An hour later, Gmail is sending me invites to certain hotels in Clearwater, Florida. Okay. We've all experienced that. And you just have to be aware that that happens. So we really have to be careful here, right? In that, that any information you share can and will be used by others without your permission. The White House actually had a series of guidelines that have not been implemented yet and has not been passed into law. And it was actually put out in the Biden administration, but I think it was because of the timing when it was put out, I think it was actually created under the Trump administration. It carried over. And they actually showed how people's rights were abused. And so the guidelines they put out was we have to have the right to withdraw our data. Okay, because data has value. Okay, our data has value. We actually have to have the ability to withdraw it, okay, from any system that does not operate in our best interests. We have to have an ability to stop, okay? We should be able to say, you have to seek my permission before you use my data.
Yeah, interesting. I know that the White House, I was on a kind of a discussion online, and they're really are really trying to make sure that they have all the safety nets and yet allowing creativity. Like they're looking at AI and how it can benefit, but then also how they can protect it. And obviously the First Lady, I was there in the Rose Garden when she signed that bill for the deep fakes, which is all AI generated.
Absolutely.
So you must take it down now within 24 hours, thank God, because it's going to be a world of fakes. And that's the other issue is that, our kids are being brought up now, this next generation, on a what's real, what's fake.
And when you try to determine what's real and what's fake, there are programs that will help you do that. You can use Grammarly to see if it was written and it by AI, or you can use DeepWave, which will, tell you if the video was created by AI. But most of us aren't even educated enough, right, to know whether or not
Yeah, I
you
wouldn't
have
have
those
known.
programs that you can use, or to that you can even tell that, like, hey, that's AI. They don't have it. And just like the AI pin one, right? Or the and I actually used in a campaign, we had a candidate, could not speak English at all. But we filmed a commercial in English, but part of her district is Spanish. So we took a program called Hey Jen and we converted it into Spanish. It's perfectly lip synced.
I
You
mean, that
cannot
is
tell.
amazing. That's a great example.
You cannot tell. And so at the bottom, we, when we put it out on the street, we actually at the bottom put that this was technology enhanced. Okay. So that people would
That's
know.
good. So back to the point on you said chat was you were concerned about chat, but what are I kind of just want to give a quick overview on what's the positive things that we can, should, and be aware of allowing and with our kids. And then I do want to kind of just do on how to protect our kids as well. So
So back
what,
to the chat thing. So I encountered ChatGPT where it was giving factually false information. Okay. And I was having this argument with a friend up in the Chicago area, and she was saying he didn't that President Trump had not declared an emergency down in Arkansas after their floods and their tornado that came through in March. I said, that's got to be wrong. There's no way he would put Sarah Huckabee Sanders through that, right? And so then I did my research, okay, just regular old research, and I pulled down. And so then she showed me her source. I showed her my source. So I said, okay, let's go out to AI, okay? I pulled down ChatGPT, and it said no, that he had not declared an emergency. I said, this has got to be wrong. So I went to the FEMA site, And I pulled down the declaration where he declared an emergency after the floods and the tornadoes in Arkansas. Okay. And I sent it to my friend. Okay. Not everybody is going to spend that time doing
Sure.
that. Right. The other thing
And
that.
how do we correct that? How do we correct that with AI?
Well,
You report it?
you
I mean,
have to feed it.
that's the problem. Where do you go
Yes.
with that then?
Yeah. Well, the ChatGPT does have the ability, and so does Grok and other things. When you tell it it's wrong, okay, to go and correct it, okay, it will go and correct it. Okay. So you can do that. But something happened where they changed the algorithms 4 months ago because I did not have an instance over 2 years in which ChatGPT had a problem like this. But then it started after the March event. The
So
other
false information.
False information is coming in. The other thing that I noticed was that I asked it a question about illegal aliens because it was very confused about what came out of the Supreme Court, right? And so I asked the question about illegal aliens and it spit it out. And so what I always do now is I'll take ChatGPT and I'll take Grok and I'll compare the answers, or I'll take Perplexity and I'll compare the answers. And that was right, what I would recommend to your audience in order to verify that it's accurate. Okay. So one of the things when I was asking this illegal immigrant question, I used the term illegal aliens, and it spit out what the Supreme Court did. Okay. And then at the very bottom, it said, you may want to consider not using the term illegal aliens. Okay. And because people are offended by that. And I'm like, okay, I asked ChatGPT a legal question about a legal finding, and it's giving me spin.
And what about Grok? What happened when you did that over there?
Well, Grok has had its own problems, but Grok gave me the right answers, right?
Okay.
And it didn't do that. In both cases, it gave me the right answers. But the
Interesting.
problem with Grok is it gave a wrong answer about Israel and the Gaza Strip stuff, okay, which was made very public. And so it made Grok look like it was, you know, for lack of a better term, white supremacist type of thing. It didn't accurately reflect what was going on in Gaza and Israel.
So talk about a couple other things that we can expect that would be positive. We're worried about the negative, but what are some other positive aspects that you think will be helping for society here?
So some of the positive aspects that you're talking about, or some of the advantages of AI, really center tremendously around healthcare, for instance.
Okay.
They can do patient monitoring from long distance, right, remote. And we really sort of discovered that during COVID. Okay, you had different setups where you're trying to determine what the patient might have in terms of a disease. It has an ability of reducing a lot of expenses, a lot of those required tests, right? Because you can analyze it very quickly. Like if, let's say you took a blood test, you can analyze that a lot quicker. And it has the ability to predict new meds that are specifically designed for you. Okay. Because some of us are type O, some of us have, you know, Irish heritage, others are Germanic, you know what I'm getting at.
That there will be AI doctors.
There are AI doctors, right? And that's the other thing that people I think miss is that there's AI around us everywhere today.
I guess so, right? Yeah.
And so, and if we look at education, we've started to talk about how AI mm-hmm. will be used in education, but it'll be very personalized. You'll get automatic feedback. In finance, it helps you avoid fraud, right? Because you're using other identification methods. And it helps you to authenticate who the user is, like if you're doing online. For national security purposes, we can actually use it for battlefield decisions in which we're looking and we say, okay, if I go this direction, I can take out these two threats. But if I go this direction, I'll go four, you know, I'll take out four threats. So it's more advantageous to go to the left instead of the right type of thing, right? Those are real-time decisions. That's everything that's sped up. Because it draws in so much data and it's real time. So there are things like called computer vision, for instance, which creates a virtual reality, which will help you down the road too, where it'll help you make decisions on career paths. It'll help you make decisions on analyzing just simple things like you see a digital image. It may mean one thing to one person and something else completely different to somebody else, right? So, looking at those different things are all sorts of positives that can
We
come
just
out
have
of
to,
it.
yeah, we
But
just have to know how to do that
right, it can be
in life.
used for security, and it is being used for security at elementary school, and that's a positive thing. The negative of it is that AI may misidentify you, and there's a case that the White House talked about 4 years ago, in which a person walked in to pick up his son from elementary school. The AI monitor tagged him as a terrorist. The police came and arrested him. Okay. So, on the one hand, it's advantageous because you can see strangers walk into the building. On the other hand, mistakes are made by AI, right? It's not perfected. So, and on almost every case that I can give you a disadvantage or that I can give you an advantage, I can do the opposite.
Right. It's the same way, right? It's the same way when the phones came, the internet, all of this, it's a double-edged sword. And but I don't know, there's just something about it that just seems so, I guess it's just, I get it's just the wild, wild west. You don't know what's coming or how to handle it and what's real, what's not. And I know that there's going to be, we have to figure it out. And I know there's going to be a lot of positive aspects of it, like you said, from technology to medicine. And then we'll just have to figure out in this world how we protect our kids and protect our information for those that could do great harm. So,
Well, particularly if they're going to do mental health assessments
yeah.
on our children without knowing it, it's happening to our children and it's happening to us, right? If they
The
do
AI is doing it,
it, the
basically. How are
AI
you
is doing it.
feeling?
Well,
Yeah.
the new law that was just signed into law
Sure.
here in Illinois, right?
But a lot of people say that AI is going to really, these bots are going to be like, how are you feeling today? Oh, you don't feel good today? Well, maybe you should do this, or and they guide you.
They do. And that
So.
can lead you down a path where you're not communicating with your parents or you're not
Right.
communicating with your teacher. And that's the problem with technology in general.
Yeah.
It's and for our children particularly, it separates us from social interaction.
Yeah.
And we need to come together more. We need to be able to go to church more. We need to build relationships on a
Amen.
human level. But all of technology has been problematic over the last 30 years. And so we're just riding that, what I would say, a bad wave, and we need to stop that wave as best we can.
I guess we have to realize too that this is just pulling information, which I came in record speed,
Right.
and it's going to, make it sometimes and not other times. And our kids have to know that.
Absolutely. So the way I see it is, if you're not educated about AI, okay, and you're not protecting your data, that's two sides of a sword, right? Okay, two sides of a coin. You have to do both, okay, in this day and environment. And most
So
people don't.
what does it look like then?
Well, and that's the path we're going down, right? That's
Yes.
why I'm trying to set up with Arthur Christian School, Christian-based curriculum that teaches our teachers about AI on what to teach our students. It teaches our students, because we're going down a path with tutors, with AI tutors. So
Right.
they'll have special individualized learning programs, right? And then overall, we want to basically share this with homeschoolers because they're going to have the same problem, right?
True. Yeah.
And that was one of the things we're reaching out, and I've got five teachers already down at Arthur Christian School. We've got the Lutheran schools here in Springfield are also starting down the path of AI. I've got a meeting with them next week. We're reaching out to Iowa, and I'm going to reach out to Tristan because you recommended him. I'm going to reach out to him just to see We need to connect this, right? We need to protect our children. And at some point in the future, I'd like to come back and talk about finances and where we need to, you know, type of thing.
And you just referred to Tristan Harris, who's the co-founder of the Center for Human Technology. And he's a very powerful voice right now on the potential dangers of AI development and approaching how to have a more ethical approach to this, because we haven't even touched on some of, just like everything, there's good and bad to it. What's going to happen to jobs and all this? How do you keep our data safe? And how do you keep, you know, it's just not biased and it doesn't become an indoctrination tool. And so there is a lot to be had about this. But I guess in closing, Mark, what would you just say to parents right now in this introductory phase of AI? What would you tell them? I mean,
I would say be very cautious.
Yeah.
And educate yourself. Okay. It will help you in the future, right? In your career path. Protect all your data. Grab all your data that you have now, your medical records, your bank records, your finance records if you have an investment.
Meaning have them on your own computer or
have them on
copy.
Your own computer, right? And I wouldn't even say have them on your own computer. You need to download them onto something that you can put into a Faraday bag that cannot be adjusted, right? This is provable information. This is what it was in the past, right? This is what, you know, your medical records, your employment records, all of that. And even your social history, if you think about what Facebook deletes off of our social history, we just don't recognize that our data has value. But our data has made billionaires out there who understood the value of what we were giving them on Facebook or on Verizon or AT&T or what have you.
So
learn about AI. You can go to like futuretools.ai, or you can watch Matt Wolf on YouTube or Tristan on YouTube. I did have one disagreement on Tristan, but for the most part, he was phenomenally good, right?
Mean, we're not endorsing anyone. We're just sharing, you know, people are in this discussion all around the country.
Absolutely. But artificial intelligence really started back in the 1950s. Dartmouth College had a course, several courses on artificial intelligence, but it didn't take off. And this is, I think, his point, and I agree with it. It all of a sudden took off, right? But we hadn't corrected the stuff in the past, you know, on letting our data go on the internet, our records go on the internet. And we need to stop people from sharing or stop organizations from sharing that information. So that gets to the third point, which is get that digital bill of rights in place. And in the meantime, we're going to go out here, we're going to try and create curriculum, and then we're going to share that curriculum with everybody. And so, so that they know this is a Christian-based curriculum, this is well-founded, right? Yeah. And that it will aid all the homeschoolers, it will aid the different Christian schools out there and what have you.
Is there a place for this curriculum yet, Mark? Are you still developing it?
Nope, we're still developing it. It was literally 2 weeks ago. It was scheduled before the networks conference, the Faith and Fire conference. But we met the week exactly after, and they signed up. I mean, immediately, I talked to 30 teachers. I gave a presentation, and I'm willing to go anywhere and talk about these issues.
So is there somewhere we can find any information on this, or is this just too early yet?
It's still too early. I haven't set up a website. I haven't put out any Facebook information, although I'm easy to find down in Sherman, Illinois. Go ahead and friend me. And feel free, if anybody calls, to share my phone number and my email. I don't have any problem with that. I could treat them as public because everybody has access.
Well, you're where everyone else is right now, trying to figure out how to handle this new world.
Right.
And provide, you know, safety nets and how to utilize it, because we do know that it can be very helpful and we do know that it can be very harmful. So thanks for your words of advice. Thanks for joining us. I mean, this is just a new world, a new discussion. And I think, like you said, moms just have to be really discussing this with their kids, and hopefully more and more people help train us and the way that we have to go with our phones and our technology and AI, because it's here. It's everywhere I turn.
It's here. Exactly. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate all you're doing.
Have a great day.
All right. Thanks again, Mark, for joining us. Thank you, moms, for being a part of today's podcast. Again, for more information on Moms for America, all of our amazing programs, resources, webinars, seminars, support, please go to momsforamerica.us. We are here to help you and all of the subjects that you're covering in your home. We say we have everything from parental rights to public policy and from the kitchen table to Congress. Moms for America has it all. We are the ultimate support group for moms. All right, moms, please again like, subscribe, share. And as always, let's keep changing our country one home at a time. And I will talk with you soon. See you next week. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and Tuvu. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.